Everybody wake up.
Time to wake up. Time to start the day. Wake up late with Dougie. He is the only
wake
way.
Wake up late.
Now everybody.
Wake up late. Everybody.
Wake up late.
Wake up.
It's late. Time to wake up.
Wake up late with Dougie. Wake up late with Dougie. Wake up late with Dougie.
It's time to wake up.
Wake up late with Dougie. What rhymes with Dougie? He's just so funny.
It's the Wake Up Late with Dougie show. Live from Danger Studios. Chorus praise and now you know.
We're the hottest show in this place.
Wake up late.
Now everybody.
Wake up late.
Now everybody.
Wake up late.
Now everybody.
I said 1, 2, 3. Everybody wake up.
Live from Danger Studios in Coral Springs, Florida. It's the Wake Up Late with Dougie show. Starring Dougie Almeida. Now. Let's start the show.
Welcome to the Wake Up Late with Dougie show. I'm Dougie Almeida, and I'm joined today by Talia Braun.
Good morning, everyone.
And from our Atlanta studios, Mr. John Levine.
Yeah, well, you know, these Atlanta studios, they're great. A little chilly, but they're good.
Yeah, it's getting cold, man. And, you know, I'm going to be going to New Mexico, and I just found this on Wednesday, and I'm like, people are like, yeah, you better bring a jacket, because it's like in the 40s and, you know, 30s out here, and it's dry cold, which...
Yeah, it is fall elsewhere, believe it or not.
Yeah.
Yeah. So welcome to the show. And of course, we got a lot to talk about today.
Yes.
Everybody had stuff to do. John had his first time he performed at Laughing Skulls Open Mic on last week, I believe.
Oh, yep. Yeah, that's right. Yep. I remember. How was it?
Well, we'll get to hear about that. He'll tell us about that.
Sorry.
Yeah, easy, Talia. Jeez.
Yeah, don't push the envelope. And, you know, who knows? This show may be an hour, but like we have no power cord. So we're going to go on our battery until it ends. And so if the show is 40 minutes, whatever. That's what's going to happen. Not to mention, I got to pick up my old lady. She's coming back from Europe tonight. Yeah.
She's been gone for a little while, huh?
Like a week, like since last Monday.
Right.
I thought it was very touching that you put on Facebook that you missed her.
Yeah. A few people commented like, hey, what'd you do wrong?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I don't want to say,
That's cute. Is that for her to see and be like, aw.
No, it was heartfelt. I really felt that way. You know, I'm like, okay. I miss her. You know, I got to get up every morning and take the dogs out and feed them and all that shit. I mean, I'm running the house.
Right.
You know, I'm doing
so that's what you miss. Yeah. You miss the help.
No, I don't miss the help.
He needs a mate.
I miss the loving. I miss the companion. You know, I miss the someone being here, you know.
The warm, lonely nights in South Florida.
Yeah. You know what I mean? I let the dog sleep with me for most of the time. But it was crazy because, all right, I ended up taking the gig. Like, I ended up working, last week on the show, I said that, you know, Off the Hook Comedy Club asked me to work Friday through Sunday.
Right.
But I already had I was already headlining a gig in Melbourne for Shannon Hall and Brevard Comedy.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, well, you know, you get paid a certain amount of money to feature, but you get paid, you know, basically to make three times at the headline. So I didn't want to cancel Saturday. But they were great. Off the Hook said, no, come Friday and Sunday then.
Yeah.
We'll get somebody for Saturday.
Gotta love it. Very accommodating.
So I drove Friday there and back, went to the show, drove back. Had to get back for the dogs. You know, unfortunately, fed the dogs around 11 o'clock.
Busy.
Yeah. And, you know, not a big deal. You think an hour and a half. Then Saturday, drive to Melbourne to do the show. Bring Chris Z with me to feature, who did a great job. And let me tell you, Chris Z is a good guy to have in the car with you when you're in the car. Because he talks.
He's a good conversationalist.
Yeah. So we talked the whole friggin' time.
That's vital for a car ride companion.
Oh, yeah.
It is because, you know, when I drove to Naples for some reason, I realized this. Actually, on Friday when I drove to Naples, it seemed like it took an eternity. And I'm like, why is it? It's only an hour and a half drive. But you know why? Because when I took off, it was around 5 o'clock.
Stoned.
Yeah, that too. But when I took off, like light out. And that's the problem when you drive to the West Coast, driving into the sun. You're basically looking into the sun. It's bright. And then just before you get there, it becomes dark. So it almost seems like you've been driving all day.
Yeah, I could see that, actually. I never thought about that.
I hate the time difference. I hate this daylight savings time. I hate it like it's dark now. Here we're in the studio. It's 5:40, and it already looks like it's like nighttime.
I like it, but I also see where you're coming from under that circumstance. Yeah, that's probably... Yeah.
Well, that's why it seemed like a long drive. And then I came home, and, you know... And then Saturday, it's a two-hour drive to Melbourne, and it went, you know... Again, Chris and I was bullshitting, talking the whole time. And got to know the guy. He's a good dude, Chris.
Yeah, he's a good dude. We actually drove up to, we both did Sunrise Theater, the Black Box, up at Casey Peruski's room, Casey and Spaz. And we drove up together. And that was, we definitely had some good conversations going up and coming back.
Yeah, yeah, and well-spoken guy. Matter of fact, it may help. He's a substitute teacher. That's what he makes money on too. But I think it may have helped him. May have hooked him up with our boy at Ignite Hospitality.
Oh, nice.
Because he needs somebody to work in the office. I go, well, Chris is a smart guy. I'm sure he'll be able to do that kind of stuff.
Yeah,
cool.
And they're a full-time sponsor now of the Wake Up Late with Dougie show and Wise Guys Comedy Show.
Ooh.
Going to introduce him to all the comics so he can help his business. And we're working at getting a much better hotel now than La Quinta. for our people who perform at Wise Guys Comedy Show at Tavolino's.
Oh, that's great.
Awesome.
Yeah, so it's, you know, it's coming together nicely. Aside from that, I want to congratulate, it seems like Kevin Hart's doing more stuff here in Florida.
Mm-hmm. I think I saw something like that.
Yeah, Miami, they're going to have a show, like the up-and-coming comics. There's going to be a showcase. I don't know if it's going to be televised or what. It's just a thing he's doing.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, again, as a comic, you see this. Okay, that's nice. People get recognized. But then I can't help but think, why the fuck am I not getting on a list? I don't want to seem like this is all about me, but this is the Wake Up Late with Dougie show, and my life is all about me. But, you know what I mean? And like, okay, so when you see guys, there are certain people that made it, like David Del Rosario, very funny guy.
I think Mario Ramil is on it.
Yeah, and I don't really know him. Has he been around?
He's a funny dude. He's a funny dude.
Okay.
Yeah.
I didn't know. You know, and there are some other people I won't mention that posted that are not funny. And these are open micers. So I was like, what? You know, and then, you know, I even reached out to somebody, I won't mention who, in the Miami scene. I go, hey, I just want to let you know. I don't know if you're aware of this, but I'm a working comic. You know, I mean, I'm touring the country working. I'm serious about this business. You know, I'm just wondering what it takes to get involved in one of these events, mm-hmm. You know.
Is there a chance that maybe the thought is because you are successful at it that they want to give other people a shot who aren't yet at your level?
That's what I was going to suggest.
Well, I actually reached out to some other agencies that I do work for. Mm-hmm. A gentleman who actually at Comedy Zone. I reached out to my friend Joel there, and I said, hey, man, I'm just curious if, you know, you want some advice. You know, like, in other words, I'm sitting here. I want to get this off my – I need to get this off my chest. I'm just wondering, you know. And he came out and said, he goes, yeah, I guess in the regions they're in, that they reached out to them as well, and they really just want open micers.
Yeah.
They really didn't want, like, really well-known – or comics that are working and stuff like that. He just said, look, they're just looking for, like, newbies to do.
Yeah, like up-and-comers.
Right.
Yeah.
I think the whole idea is just, like, undiscovered talent.
Yeah.
So if you're touring the country, you can't call yourself undiscovered, you know?
Right.
Well, but then you get a guy like David Del Rosario on there who's actually, well, he's not really touring anymore, but,
I mean, I don't know.
Yeah. You know, I just
make sure you let them know that you're Hispanic. I mean, maybe they don't know that.
Yeah, maybe I should send them.
That seems to be a big qualification down there in Miami.
Yeah, let's pronounce Almeida the correct way now.
Yeah, it's Almeida. Yeah.
Almeida.
Yeah, but you know what? See, there's a comic. I don't want that shit to bug me. I mean, I'm happy when I saw, there's one or two people I saw in there go, what the fuck are they going this thing for? But aside from that, I was like, you know, if you feel good for people. But then you can't, right? Is it normal to think they go, why the fuck am I not, you know, why am I not?
Well, yeah,
as long as you don't actually, like, actively hate people. Like, if you're like, oh, if that angst is there, yeah, you want to do good. You want to keep performing. So it's just how you react to it, I think. Like, how you, like, react in front of other people.
Like, I sent an email to someone who's in Miami that I think has a part in this and, like, you know, a voice in this. And I said, look, I didn't want to, does that come off being douchey that I said, hey, I don't know if you're aware of this, but I'm actually working. I'm, you know.
Yes, I will have to say. Yeah, that line is douchey. Yeah. If you're like, hey, you know, I saw that you're on that show. That's really awesome. You know,
well,
I myself have been working.
Let me tell you how I did it. And you tell me if it's douchey. Okay.
First of all,
congratulations on all the, you know, the success. The Heart of the City program was awesome. That was great. Great bringing exposure down here to Florida. Congratulations. That's awesome. Oh, by the way, I don't know if you're aware of this, but I'm actually working. I'm touring the country. I'm a working comic. This is a serious business for me, and I'd like to be considered for any upcoming event like that or such events like that.
Yeah, it's a little like passive aggressive.
Yeah, I mean, okay, when you sandwich it in between, it softens the blow, but it doesn't take away from the fact that you're like, I don't know if you know this, but I'm a working comic.
Right.
They aren't, so that kind of sounds douchey because you're not on the same playing field exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, like you're kind of speaking down to them a little bit. I'm working. You're not. We know this.
Well,
anyway.
I wasn't talking to the comic.
I'm not on this because I'm the working comic here.
Yeah, that's kind of – it sounds a little – I know that's not how you meant it, but I also know you well.
I wanted it to come off as being like, hey, you know, this is a great thing you're doing for comics, but I would like to think that I'm should be considered for it.
Now,
well, but there's a way to say that. You can say that I think this is, you know, congratulations on the thing. It's, you know, this is they're doing this now. You know, I don't know, you know, who is doing the booking or when this is coming about, but I, you know, if I would love the opportunity to be on one of these shows, you know, if there's availability. I know I travel a lot for comedy and do different clubs across the country, but I am here quite a bit. And, you know, once if the opportunity arises, I would definitely make time for it.
Yeah, I would pepper it in there instead of being like, I don't know if you know this, but I tour. You
well,
know?
It's too late. I already wrote the email.
Yeah,
well,
so right. Fuck
I
it.
Mean, it's, yeah.
But you know, but you know, it was the person who wrote back said, hey, thanks for, you know, thanks for keeping us posted and this and that and, you know, whatever. But I was like, all right, whatever, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But then, like I said, Joel at the Comedy Zone, I was like, look, you know, you're working. He goes, you know, you're doing your thing. You have a price on you. You know, you now come with a price.
Right.
You're not somebody who gets that it's going to work for free. So that's kind of the way you got to look at it. You know, people will look at that, they're going to throw it out to people who do shit for free. You know?
Yeah. And I mean, maybe they really just are genuinely looking for people that don't get booked for things. Like, just.
But I mean, think about that. I mean, that's really the criteria. If somebody's going to put together a
show, yeah.
You really want to get a show together, people that don't really work. Don't you want the show to be somewhat entertaining?
Well, that's not the point of the show. The point of the show is undiscovered talent of just people working their cities. It's not really like, oh, these are people like from Florida that are comedians.
That's what like Last Comic Standing was. This was like comics you don't know, but that turns out that's like the opposite end. These are supposedly comics you don't really know, but these are, for the most part, working comics. These are people that are really, really working, and they're just trying to get to the next level.
They're different shows, though. Yeah. I mean, maybe that's just the point. Right. I don't know. John, what do you think?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think there's, first of all, I think there's always going to be somebody who's going to be left out. You know what I mean? You can't get everybody. And it's natural to have a desire to be. And of course you want to be the person who's called. But I, you know, again, I think Joel's point was good in the fact that you know, there might be a concern that people are like, well, you know, he doesn't work for free. You know, he makes money at this. So maybe that's the key. Maybe you make it known in that way and say, look, if it comes around, he's like, I'm not, you know, I want to be a part of it. I don't care about if there's any money involved or not.
Right.
You know.
Yeah. Yeah. It really could be that simple.
His advice to me was like, look, you know, anybody on these shows are going to be forgotten 10 minutes later. It's not like.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
It's not like anything that's going to make your career.
This is not Star Search. I mean, like, let's be realistic.
Exactly. Like Last Comic Standing, I mean, there was this whole like, you know, competition and they narrowed people down and you had to choose the best and like, you know, it sort of assumed the success of the show is going to be contingent on like if this guy is actually really funny. You know what I mean? Like this
right.
is just kind of like, oh, here's what we found in Miami. Not like saying that against anyone that actually is on that show, but maybe that's their whole idea on it.
I got you. All right. Whatever. Listen, like I said, it was just, you know, when you see this, you're thinking, you know, especially when you're that serious about it. I guess, you know, if I was a hobbyist, I really didn't give a shit. I'd be like, oh, whatever. But it got me a little bit of like, you know, like the Heart of the City. That would have been great. That would have been great to have been on that, to get a TV credit with Comedy Central, you know. And there's people that are working, you know, I'd say some of them are working that were on that show, right? And then, you know, even my friends around the country from the regional ones that were there, it's pretty standard. There's people that are like, there's people on the show that should have been and there's people that shouldn't.
Yeah. Somebody there was somebody that mentioned it here at a mic, was talking about the Kevin Hart stuff that they're doing on Comedy Central. And they were like, yeah, you know, I've been watching it and it's been great. And you know, all the different cities, like Chicago was really good. And this, and they're like, the only one I didn't like was Miami. Miami just sucked. They had no idea it was from South Florida. And I was like, oh, I'm like, really? I'm like, what didn't you like? They were like, the comics weren't funny. And they had, you know, this paper, but they were just going on about it. I'm like, oh, cool. They're like, so where are you from? I'm like, Miami.
Yeah. and you hear that and you think somebody's gonna look at you and go, boy, if that wasn't good and you didn't get on the show, how bad are you? You know what I mean? It's like, I don't know, it's just weird. It's like,
yeah, but I think comedians understand that there's only so many spots, and that, you know, they don't think that there's, you know, five comedians and five spots in that show in South Florida, you know.
Right.
And it's anybody who's been doing comedy for any stretch of time understands that not everybody gets on every show.
Right. Yeah, well, like I said, it's not like it's gonna make or break either way, but you know, and again, to everybody who's on that show, great. You know, good for you, and, you know, that's nice. It has nothing to do with you. You know, I'm not saying I should be on there before you. I'm just saying that I would like to be on something like that.
Because you're a working comic.
Because I'm a working comic, and I feel like I earned something, you know, like some sort of recognition.
Well, you spoke up, and I think that was the right step.
But again, I brought this up about Miami in the past. Miami is so clicky that, you know, they, like, think about it. Everybody in that show is pretty much from Miami, right? So far that you've seen?
Yeah.
It's not like they.
Yeah, but okay, but let's turn this around for a second. Like, let's say they came to you and said, "Hey, you know, we know that you do a lot of stuff in South Florida, and we want to put together the show for you know Kevin Hart to do it. You know, why don't you pick out you know six comics that are going to be on it?"
I can tell you right so now.
I guarantee you, Lenny's going to be on. I guarantee you, Lenny's going to be
Lenny,
on.
No.
But you know what I mean. Like,
no.
You're not reaching down into Miami to get.
That is
Manny
not true.
Garavito.
That is not true. Well, I wouldn't pick Manny Garavito. Just based on talent.
Well,
sorry, Manny.
Right. But I was just using him as an example.
Well, no, you know,
David
I wouldn't.
Del Rosario,
but I would. Know. I would consider David Del Rosario. I would consider. That's the thing. I wouldn't say, hey, I'm only going to pick just my friends. And I wouldn't pick Perry and Lenny, just for that reason. Because I don't know if Perry Lenny's done with comedy in a sense. He, you know, he just does what he does. And Perry's like really not that serious about it. So I would take that in consideration. I would pick people that I think are serious, that really want to move forward, that are working their ass off, mm-hmm. and that are funny. So there'd be a criteria. They got to be somebody who's really working hard and somebody who's talented. You know, that's the two things. I wouldn't, you know, just for convenience. Oh, I'm going to get my buddy involved.
No, I don't mean it like that. But the bottom line is that you know you're getting judged on the people that you pick. So it's a reflection on you. So you know there might be somebody who's really talented that just doesn't run in your circle that you see every once in a blue moon, and they don't get on that show and they're like, well, what's going on? I'm working in Miami all the time.
I guess my point is, and I brought this up with someone else, is that if you're going to do something like that, can you cast the nets a little wider? Like, in other words, you know what I mean? Like, what kind of due diligence? What kind of thing you're doing to really get a good representation?
No, I agree
of
with you
the
on
area.
That. If you have that type of responsibility in choosing, you should,
right?
You know, do your due diligence.
It shouldn't just
searching.
Be convenience. I mean,
yeah.
I mean, there was a couple people I saw mentioned on that are they're horrible. They don't even have, like, you know what I mean? It's like they're not even good open micers. And I thought, you know, there's got to, I could think of 10 other people that I would rather see in that spot than this particular person. You know what I mean? Not even about me. I just thought, who the fuck? Like, there's people I know that are busting their ass, that, you know, they're always writing, they're always trying to work hard. You know, why wouldn't they get it? And again, I haven't seen everybody on the list. It seems like there's a lot of people. I don't know how much fucking people are on this thing, but whatever. It is what it is. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So
I think you took the right step in speaking up, and we'll see where that goes.
Yeah, and listen, there's part of me that doesn't want to do it because I don't want to be the douche who's like, you know. But at the same time, I think
it's too late now.
Yeah, thanks.
I don't think you're being a douche by saying like, "Hey, I'm interested."
Right. I mean, listen. I'm at the point where I tried to be somewhat. Yeah, you know, I didn't want to. I read it a couple times before I wrote what I wrote, but I wanted to say. Hey, I wanted to make the point that, you know, like, I wasn't even going to write back to the person and go, "Let me ask you, what is the criteria?" I'm just wondering, what is the criteria you guys are looking for? You know, what are you guys thinking about before you choose people? Because I thought that would just be interesting to know.
Mm-hmm. You know, they said, well, they've got to be funny. They've got to be hardworking. They've got to be not named Dougie Almeida.
Yeah.
They've got to.
Yeah. See, that's the thing. That's the anxiety. That's the schizophrenic guy in me that thinks, like, you know, just don't get that guy. You know, we don't like him.
Why?
I don't know. Because, listen, I spoke out about Miami, and I don't like the way they, you know, they're clicky with the comedy scene. John and I have talked about this. Like, other comedy scenes aren't clicky like that in a sense. They are. But they're not. Like, Atlanta, those are Atlanta comics. They're from all over the place in Atlanta, Georgia area, but they're still the Atlanta scene.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you go to New York, you know, there's groups, and, you know, but
I was in the New York for a little bit, not too
it's
long,
just
but
different, you know what I mean?
Yeah, but I mean, okay, so I think, you know, we tend to lump together the Fort Lauderdale Miami market as one, and you know, so, as you're comparing, like, you're comparing that to Atlanta, right? So Atlanta is one market. There isn't, you know, an outside of Atlanta, you know, or a suburb of Atlanta. You know what I mean?
It's like
it's just this one city. New York, I actually think there's more. There, it is a little bit more clicky because you've got Brooklyn comics, you've got, you know, Manhattan. You know what I mean? There's definitely some separation there. And I think Fort Lauderdale, Miami is very much like that too. I mean, you have a very big scene, or I shouldn't say big scene, but you have a you know, very well defined group in, you know, the Fort Lauderdale Boca area.
Right.
You know, and a little bit north, and then you've got a very southern scene in the Miami, you know, and south area. So
yeah.
I think that the tendency to group those together, which most people do just generally, doesn't work well in this, where it's like, oh, we're all just one big scene, because we're not. I mean, in reality, it's not.
Right. Yeah, it's a good point. I think, you know, and like anything, like Joel was telling me, he's like, dude, you're doing slow and steady wins the race, buddy. Just keep doing what you're doing. So, you know, and that's the craziness of this business. As hard as you work, you always feel like you maybe didn't, you're not doing enough. You know, by the way, speaking of someone who's doing great, congratulations to Preacher Lawson for winning the Seattle International Comedy Festival this weekend.
Oh.
That's huge.
That is huge. That's huge. Awesome.
That kid's talented, and that kid's has done a great job. So
that is
congratulations to the Preacher from Orlando, now living in L.A. Actually, he's coming back into town, so I was excited to see that because I talk about a well-deserving kid, smart, funny, mm-hmm. you know, just a great character, talent.
Good-looking, huge, yeah. huge cock, I hear. Huge.
Yeah, I bet it is. And he's in great yeah. shape. He's a, you know, sexy man. Yeah,
I don't understand when comics are in great shape. I just don't get yeah. it. How do you live that life and be
that's
in great
I'm
shape?
That's why I'm not, yeah.
Yeah, that's my excuse, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're
yeah.
such a good comic, so. And you're...
You know, speaking of congratulations and comedians, three comedians in the last week have gotten engaged.
But is Jordan really engaged? We'll get to that in a second. But yes, Elgin and Joe Gnome, congratulations.
That's right.
It's
Our
so
boy
exciting.
Elgin yeah. and his girl got engaged.
Yes.
Yep. This weekend, which is awesome. They're living together now, so that's exciting.
Mm-hmm.
They got a place, so that's really good. I wonder, you know, he's all excited because they love each other like crazy, those two.
Oh, yeah, like, yeah.
And, yeah, so they got engaged. Who else? Supposedly
Noam and Joe got engaged.
That's right.
Yes.
Right? Noam and Joe, God, I always forget his last name.
Dwayne, yes.
Joe Dwayne.
Yeah, Dwayne-us. Yeah.
They got engaged, and that's exciting. And now, you know, you can't believe Jordan because he's usually full of shit. And,
right.
and he's just, you know, he's just making
well, Jordan
up stuff.
Is a very outspoken person, yeah. and I would think if he was in love with someone, we would have seen a lot more of
knowing
this
more about
world.
It.
That's just well, my opinion. But if they are engaged, congratulations, that's amazing. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah.
Don't
Though
know.
He did take that kind of self-imposed social media sabbatical for like 2 months.
Right.
And he was off for a while. So there might have been something in there that you know, we weren't aware of.
Hmm.
You know, I'm still 65% thinking this is bullshit. But if it's not, I'm happy for him. I mean, good for him.
Yeah, either way, who gives a shit?
It's hard to tell.
It is hard to tell.
He does little things like this where we're like, is he fucking serious? And then it just kind of disappears right. and right. no one talks about it. So.
Hey, by the way, again, we're on a power situation here, so we're going to take a quick break.
All righty.
We're going to come back with a couple, you know, some things that are out there for segment two, some of our top stories in a sense, and straight from the headlines as well. Be right back with that and more right after this.
Hey, this is John Levine, and you're listening to the Wake Up Late with Dougie show, where I'm not always right, but Dougie is always wrong.
And we're back to the Wake Up Late with Dougie show.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Late with Dougie show. I'm here with Talia Brahms and John Levine.
Hello, everyone.
And, hi, everybody.
That's right. By the way, for those of you who are paying attention, we're back on the IRN network. They're going to be broadcasting our shows on IRN. So excited about that.
Oh, when did this happen?
They called me, asked me to put the shows back on. I said, sure, but I don't have time to send it out and wait, let them, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So when we were, like, the show will be live tonight, wakeuplatewithdougieshow.podbean.com. And okay. they can pull it off, but then I'll promote it tomorrow. I'll just post it, even though it'll be up tonight. Somebody, and there's people, it's funny, like last week we did the same thing, and people, like before I even posted it, there was like 8 hits already.
Hmm.
It's like, all right, and you know, so mm-hmm. so it's, you know, whatever. So anyway, welcome back to the show. A couple things. Fidel Castro is dead. Big news in the
Yay.
Cuban community. Your family's
yeah.
Cuban.
Yes.
You know, it's interesting. There's been some back and forth on this. Number one, because... Now, Fidel Castro, evil or good person?
Well, it's very easy to look at his track record when you're not Cuban and be like, oh, look, he brought free education and healthcare and there's more Cuban doctors per capita, blah, blah, blah. But until you have a family member that actually went through right. living there, you don't get it. He's horrible. He's horrible.
Right. Because like the prime minister of Canada, he came out and he just basically was trying to be diplomatic about somebody dying. You know, Obama was like, oh, you know, people are like, what
but
the
Obama's
fuck?
Words were diplomatic. Like, right. he was tiptoeing the fuck around those words. There right. are people that just are like, oh, we lost a great dictator. That's not diplomatic at all. That's,
yeah.
You're right. choosing a side there. Obama's, I read it, and people had you know, various reactions to that. But he didn't say anything good or bad. Just, well, people are feeling things today, and hopefully we'll get over it. Like, his was fine. But, yeah, I mean, you're just not Cuban if you don't understand how horrible he was, and you didn't have a family member that was abused by him, whether physically or their life was ruined. Like,
yeah,
he's bad. The end.
Yeah, I mean, he's a dictator, and to be a dictator, you got to kill people to get the country in your hands. And that's right. What he did. He went over and took over the country.
Yes.
But yeah, I guess like you said, like, yeah, some, you know, this Kaepernick guy, you know, the quarterback for the 49ers,
mm-hmm.
who got crunched by the Dolphins at a fucking great. I officially announced, by the way, on Facebook that I'm back on the bandwagon. I live here in Florida for many years, and I used to be a Dolphin fan with Marino and all that stuff. And then after decades of them sucking dick for all these years, I just stopped liking them. I just, like, I can't follow them. They're depressing. The whole team and the organization was in shambles. You know, so I couldn't follow them. But now I enjoy watching the Miami Dolphins.
Now that the weather's cleared and the clouds are gone, you're back. The fair weather is back.
Well, I wouldn't say fair weather because they still got a young coach. They don't have supposedly the. But when you watch.
I'm embarrassed to admit, I think I just learned why it's called fair weather fan. Yeah. Thank you, John.
Yeah. Well, you know, things,
that's kind of embarrassing.
That's what it is. You become a fan when you not just, you know, because you like the team. Like I like the Heat when they were good or bad. You know, I had season tickets. I used to go because it was my thing. They were my real team because I like basketball. But, you know, football, I got tired of watching them suck and then changing coaches. And this person was like, this is getting depressing. So I just wasn't a football fan. It wasn't like I was like,
right.
Like I've said, that. I'm like, Dolphins are my local team, but I don't enjoy watching football anymore.
Well, there you go. You're just not that big of a football fan.
But watching the game this weekend, man, those guys, I mean, that coach has got a chance to win Coach of the Year. He took a team that was in shambles and turning them into a win team. The quarterback's playing good. You know, they just look great. You know, it looks exciting to see a team put it together like that. So,
they've had a fairly weak schedule. I mean, let's be honest.
Yeah, I mean, some of the people that beat
their schedule's been fairly easy.
Well, the first few games were not. That's why they lost.
They lost them.
Yeah, but they're putting things together. But the big thing was Kaepernick came out because I guess he wore a Castro shirt when he met with Malcolm X, and he was talking about that and this and that, and how, you know. And listen, you could take, like you said, how he helped. I guess he helped people apartheid in Africa. You know, I guess he stood up to try to stop that.
He did a lot of good things on paper.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Listen, I don't know that much about Castro other than, you know. And he came over and they took over Cuba, you know, the revolution.
I used to be in the staffing industry, and I would speak to a ton of Cuban people that were extremely well educated and well qualified for their jobs. And that's what you'd find a lot. But they had nowhere to utilize all of that education because of their economy. And, you know, people were just desperate to come over here and like actually make a life for themselves. They didn't have a life over there, and they were suppressed in many ways. But on paper, a lot of things look good.
Right.
And it's like with Kaepernick before, with not standing up for the national anthem. Like, I don't really understand what you're going through because I am not African American. So I'm not going to be like, oh, well.
Can't judge it. Right.
You know, you do what you got to do. I feel the same way about this. Unless you're Cuban and you had a family member that lived during his reign, you can't really.
He was just another guy leading his own country the way he wanted. What the fuck? You know,
because on, like I said, on paper, you can go online, you could Google all the shit that he did for Cuba and be like, oh, he wasn't that bad. Until you have family there, you just don't get it.
Right.
Well, communism looks great on paper. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It's kind of what I'm saying. Yeah.
Like you could be in Xinjiang, China right now where they're asking for everybody's passports because they're having problems with the Muslims in China now and inland and stuff and terrorist acts.
Oh.
So now in Xinjiang, which is like more of a touristy area, this and that, the police are.
It's not really called Xinjiang.
It's Ziyang, Zhangjing, whatever it is. Zhangzhou, I think it is. But yeah, and they're making all the citizens bring their passports in because they're not allowed to travel. That's a communist. Yeah,
and Trump is taking notes.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Yeah. Okay, Hillary, they lost. Get over it, John. Okay.
I'm not getting over it, but if you don't think that's what he's thinking about.
He's not. That's never going to happen. Don't be a douche. Nah. You're like the Republicans who said Obama's going to take away our guns. It's the same stupid shit.
It can't happen here. Read that book. It's really good.
Yeah, okay. I will wait for that to happen. Although, I met with a client earlier today, and they were in France a few months ago when everything had they just left when the bombing in the Nice airport. okay. when that after the shooting, after the terrorist act occurred when they attacked the concert and everything. And
it was Bataclan.
Yeah, and then it was a couple months later that they had the bombing in the airport
in Belgium.
Yeah, in Belgium, right?
Yeah, and, yeah. Okay. Yeah.
So they flew out just before it happened. But my client was like, she hated France because everywhere she went, there was armed guards, there was soldiers walking around. When she went to the Eiffel Tower, she had to go through like metal detectors twice, and it was crazy. So it wasn't the same, you know, same feeling because of all this.
Right.
So it gets kind of crazy. Well, you know, so he's dead. Now, the real question is anything going to change? You know, let's see if anything changes, because his brother's been ruling the country for the last 10 years anyway. And yeah. Will anything change? We'll see, you know. But you know,
not
we can't.
For a while,
we, you know, one thing is, we can't be ethnocentric and think that our ways in our country can easily be used in other countries. If a country's is socialistic or it's communistic, that's the way they are. Who the fuck are we to tell them to change? You know what I mean? That's one thing I don't agree with our country. We're trying to promote our way of being to everywhere around the world.
I think Cuba's direction now is more dependent on us than it is on Raul Castro. I think if Trump comes in and he says, you know what, I don't like what Obama did with the thawing of relations, and we're going to stop that, and we're, you know, no more flights, no more, you know, I'm rolling back all that stuff. You can't bank in Cuba anymore with American banks, like all that kind of stuff. I think it's going to go right. What are they going to do?
He's not taking away the positive things.
He is, but my point is, I think it's more, it's less on what Raul Castro is going to do and more on what
we handle it. So it's all predicated on our actions.
Trump has said a lot of statements that, you know, unless Cuba can like come up with a better deal or whatever. So we'll see if Raul is more inclined
to want them to change the communistic state. He wants it to be more of maybe a socialistic state. You know, he's maybe some of the hardline aspects of it he wants to see changed, the human rights aspect. You know, he wants to see things like that change. And we'll see what happens. And again, if you haven't learned by now, whatever he says, you know, he says something and then eventually he weighs it out and he does things different. Some people say that's flip flopping. I say, you know, sometimes you speak because you're passionate about it, and then you find out more about it, and you go into it more, and then sometimes to me it's even more admirable that you can change your mind just because of reason. I don't like people that stand by something just because they stand by something.
Yeah, but when the president of the United States says something, other things happen based on that. So if you just say something as John Levine, nobody gives a fuck. But when you say something as President Trump, markets change.
Yeah, that's right.
Trees change.
That's right. It's good too. It's good too, John. It's good that Trump has got fucking Mexico worried right now, John. It's good that Trump's got Mexico worried and most of the Middle East right now, because now they're starting. Oh yeah, we'll figure. You know, they can say what they fucking want, but they're actually a little nervous now. They want to
stop. Yeah, they're fucking naive.
I'm not, John. You're naive. If the rest of the country hasn't, you know, got, you know, fucking Obama's balls in their hand, you know, because he's been such a pussy. That right. It's good
that they're so worried now about Trump. They're so scared.
Yeah, trust me.
Mexico is so scared right now. They're shaking. Yeah. They're crawling to Washington to beg for forgiveness.
Yeah, they are. They're actually trying to go to the Middle East now and see if they can work trade deals with the Middle East, which is people they can't trust in the first place.
Please,
yeah. Anyway.
Jesus.
So with that said, by the way, speaking of this, they're now talking about recount. Are you into this recount thing, John? Do you think this is good to do a big recount now?
I mean, I don't understand the point of it, frankly.
That's my point. It's over. It's done. You know what I mean? At this point, you got people saying,
if they found something that was like there was some evidence that there was something going on, okay, that's a different story. But they haven't really found anything. I mean, some people came out and said there were some anomalies in the vote counts. Okay, whatever. But it's look, in the bottom line, it's not the Clinton campaign that's doing this. It's the Jill Stein campaign.
Right.
And frankly, I think it's because she feels a little guilty. The fact that, you know, the margins were so narrow in those states. You know, Hillary Clinton lost Michigan by 10,000 votes and Jill Stein got 50,000 in that state.
That's insane.
So, which, I mean, now all of a sudden she's like, fuck, I, there's a good chance that Donald Trump is president because of my campaign.
Well, she should have known that. Wasn't that being said by most people that independents?
She should have known that before. I don't know if she's trying to do a make good or something like that. But,
especially in this election over any election. If that was your concern post-election, maybe you should have realized that before election. Like, okay, no one really likes either. We should probably step aside.
Yeah, well, they didn't, and that's why now it's ridiculous. It's like a childish act.
Yeah,
like
you got to
make these decisions when it's important to make those decisions.
Right.
After the fact or in hindsight, you start changing your mind. You're just a big fucking douche. That's the way it is. Real,
like what Trump is real, doing,
if, you know, if Hillary wins, then it's like, see, we, you know, we got our point across and we ran and you know, and got our issues out there. You know, it's really only because of, you know, we're playing the result here, which I get. But there's also there's a money factor of this, too. She raised like $5 million. So if they, you know, if they spend $2 million on this recount, all of a sudden she's got $3 million left for her political aspects.
Right.
Her political aspirations.
Yeah, well, independent.
So there's talk of that, too.
Yeah, well, there's still going to be many, many years before the independents become significant.
Well, maybe not that many years. Yeah. We'll have to see what happens in the next four.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll see. Well, with that said, let's see here. A couple things, little stories. How do you guys feel that a skating rink in Japan...
I saw that.
...used 5,000 dead fish?
I didn't see this.
They took 5,000 sea creatures, and they claimed that they were dead beforehand, and they froze them, and they made like a skating rink, and
yeah,
they called
They put them in the skating rink, like in other words, like in the ice, so that when you're skating, right. You feel like you're skating over an ocean.
Right.
Right, and there's sea rays, there's fish, schools of fish.
And then social media like went apeshit when they saw that. And they closed it down that night.
They did? They did close it down. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So they were like pissed about it.
It was like Harambe was under the ice, like trying to get out. Like it was,
they should put Harambe there, yes.
Yeah. Sitting there with the kid in his hand.
Right.
A Japanese skating rink that froze 5,000 dead fish into the ice as an attraction for visitors has been forced to close after receiving a barrage of criticism. His amusement park Space World is now melting the rink, which could take about a week, and will hold a memorial service for the fish.
No, they're not. Are they?
That's what it
says.
Yeah.
What did they say in CNN? It was like a proper religious.
For fuck's sake, it's fish.
Yeah, it's like me. You know, we have that betta fish that's still living. Uh-huh. We have two of the ones living, and I swear to God, he looks at me, that fish. He's like, hey, and I try to talk to him because he looks like he's like just bored. And I really feel bad for the fish. What are you going to do?
I think the CEO or whoever is in charge of this, the president, needs to grow a pair of balls. Like, we're doing it or we're not. She immediately, like, shut it down and, like, now says they're having memorials for all of them. She's like, I didn't realize it would receive such criticism. You just have to do it or don't.
It says here that Toshimi Takeda, general manager of Space World, said the intention was for customers to have fun while also learning about fish. We wanted customers to experience the feeling of skating on the sea, but after receiving criticism, we decided that we could not operate it anymore.
Why don't you just get some rubber fish?
Yeah, it's definitely a little
creepy. But that's a Japanese. They want to be authentic. You know, they want to really...
Oh, okay, so then when people go, holy shit, I can't believe you guys killed all those fish, they go, no, they're just rubber fish. And people go, oh, okay.
Yeah, they're fake fish. Like, why did they say that in the first place?
That's so true. They could have lied in 2 seconds.
That's what I'm saying.
It would have been fine.
No, those aren't... What, you think those are real fish? Nah, we 3D printed those fish. No, don't worry about it. They're fine.
You don't even need to get in trouble for it. You think those are real? Psh, and just
we
walk
got
away.
Them. Yeah, exactly. We got them from a bubblegum machine.
Yeah. That's konnichiwa, bitches. Yeah. See you later. Enjoy your skate.
Yeah,
it's definitely a little creepy, but I'm not like pissed off about it. What they said was, when I first read that, I was like, did they kill a bunch of fish to put them in this? Like, that would be weird. But they're like, oh, they were dead before. So I don't know if they're telling the truth, but if they were dead before.
How do you find 5,000 dead fish?
You catch them and don't feed them, I guess.
Yeah. Well, they were dead. Yeah, they were dead. I mean, we killed them and then they were all dead. So now we have them for our ice rink.
Oh, look, it's dead. All right.
Hey, they were alive when we left them on the dock. I mean, I don't know what happened.
Speaking of...
whatever, let's just use them.
Yeah. I mean, we gave them all the air they can breathe. Well, you know, speaking of ice now, this was another story. Wife of Putinade shocks with Holocaust-themed skating routine.
Oh.
Oh, yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, the wife of President Vladimir Putin's spokesman faced a storm of criticism on Monday for performing a Holocaust-themed ice dancing routine with striped costumes based on concentration camp uniforms.
How fucking stupid are people?
Now, of all the things you're going to celebrate, the other things you're going to do in a dance, like in a figure skating thing, the Holocaust.
Wait a second. So this is an actual show. Like, who put this together? Like, you know, when I see figure skaters, wouldn't you just like to see that combined with the Holocaust?
The dancers wore black and white striped outfits with numbers and yellow stars for the routine, which ends to the sound of gunfire. The routine was set to a song from 1997 Oscar-winning Italian film Life is Beautiful with that cuckoo fucking actor dude. A tragic comedy about a father trying to hide the horrors of the concentration camp life from his son.
This just sounds like the worst show to see ever.
Did you ever see Mel Brooks' History of the World Part 1?
Yes.
At the end, they do like the fake coming attractions for History of the World Part 2. And it's like, see, Hitler on ice. It's like, Hitler is an ice dancer. I mean, that's exactly what it sounds like. But that was a joke.
That was a parody.
This was legit.
Yeah, that's true. It kind of makes you wonder. Nafka herself insisted that the camp prisoner uniform was simply part of the performance, telling Life News, this is our job. She said the global reaction means we are forcing people to think.
Okay, now she's acting like some sort of like humanitarian.
Yeah, we think you're an idiot. That's what we think.
Yeah. That's right. We have our thoughts.
Making you think. You're right. I think you're a moron.
Our thoughts have spoken.
Right.
Another quick little story. You know, the guy who shot all the black people in that church?
Yes.
Dylan Roof.
The courts are going to allow him to be his own attorney.
Good.
Yeah, so.
That's good.
Yeah, that's good.
Well.
That's right. Good luck with that. And, you might
see there is a downside to that. And I understand why we're saying,
a mistrial.
It's like going to be a slam dunk. But the problem is that you get into situations when it comes to like appeals that, you know, with mistrials and, well, he wasn't given a fair trial because these things weren't done properly. And it can really muddy. I'm not saying that he's going to go free, but it's going to prolong a lot more.
Right.
Appeals and all that kind of shit, because there's going to be all this, you know, fodder for other attorneys to get involved with.
You
say, I can defend him now because, you know, he wasn't given this when he was on trial because he didn't know to ask for it or whatever the hell it was.
You definitely know an attorney probably suggests to him, look, we're not going to, there's no way in hell you're going to win this fucking case. There's witnesses. You walked in. You shot people. He's been deemed sane.
Well, he admitted it, didn't he?
He admitted what he did and everything. So, oops. I mean, that's what some attorney said. There's no chance you're going to win this. So the only way you can win is by doing something like off the wall like this and causing a mistrial and appeals and all kinds of shit. And like you said, getting caught up in the whole thing, you know.
Oh, Jesus.
But listen, this guy, one way or the other, this guy's going to go to the – he's going to be sentenced to death.
Good.
There's no way that this guy can go
– Does Mississippi have the death penalty?
That's a good question.
I don't know.
I'm looking through the story here. Yeah, probably not. Mississippi probably doesn't. Trying to scan through the story to see if it does say that.
Does Mississippi have the death penalty? And the answer is one of 32 states that do not have the death penalty.
Yeah, I didn't think so. During the juror qualification, Roof...
Oh, no, excuse me. I'm sorry. Excuse me. They do have the death penalty. I'm sorry.
Good.
They do.
During the juror qualification... Lethal injection. During the juror qualification called the voir dire... Roof sat at the defense table, occasionally conferring with Bruck. I guess that's somebody else. He's considering an attorney. He registered a few objections to jurors, agreeing with Gergel about the man's statements, blah, blah, blah. So he's acting as his attorney. I object. Hail Satan.
This is just a horrible idea.
Yeah, well, what are you going to do? He'll go to jail.
Good.
Like I said, with this now, he'll get a lethal injection. It'll all be over.
Good.
We got a little time left on our show. We got 32% energy here in our base. So we're going to take another
crunch
break.
Time.
That's right. We're going to crunch. We're going to take another break, and we're going to come back with straight from the headlines. We've got some really fucked up stories.
Ooh, yay.
All right. So you guys ready? We'll be back after this.
This is Talia Brahms with the Wake Up Late with Dougie show, giving you your daily dose of feminine energy and making sure these guys don't kill each other.
And we're back to the Wake Up Late with Dougie show.
And now for your dining and dancing pleasure, some international and domestic news you may or may not believe. It's straight from the headlines with Dougie Almeida.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Late with Dougie show, and it's time for Straight for the Headlines, where we talk about things that have happened around the world and make fun of it, unlike what we were just doing now, talking about real news. That's not that funny, but, you know.
Is this not real news?
No, that's real news, but these are like news that,
like,
you know.
Stupid person from Iowa.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Like, for example, our first story, Swedish Christmas goat burns on the 50th anniversary. In Sweden, they think they build this huge hay, this goat made of hay. And then somebody then somebody thought it'd be a good idea to like light fireworks.
Oh my God. Who is this person?
In Stockholm, Sweden's Christmas goat, a giant decorative goat made of straw and wood, didn't last long on its 50th anniversary. The straw goat, an annual Yuletide tradition in the city of Galv since 1966, went up in flames just hours after it was inaugurated on Sunday. Arsonists just cannot stay away from the giant decoration, which seldom survives the season without someone trying to burn it down.
Seriously?
The local newspaper.
Yes, Vens, they put up the big goat. Let's go burn it down.
Get your lighter. A local newspaper, Gelfi Dagblig, said it was set on fire late Sunday. A webcam run by the local tourist office showed the frame of the goat was still standing, but all the straw was gone.
Saw a bottle rocket fly into the center of the goat.
They got that fucking goat again. Let's light it on fire.
Reports say the Swedish chef from the Muppets was seen running away from the scene with a big lighter.
Harper Durkin, Birkin, Durkin. Remember that guy?
Yeah, that's why I brought him up.
By the way, this is a true story. We all remember it. But how about the national anthem sung by Aretha Franklin?
Right.
I mean, what the fuck? I mean, you know, it's funny because the minute she started singing, you know, I got up. I said, fuck it. I'm not going to sit here and watch this. The national anthem just get destroyed.
They made fun of it on Howard today.
Did they? Oh, yeah. I didn't even get to hear. So, I mean, just crazy. Right? I mean, what the fuck?
Stop.
Like, why the seriously. Fuck can't they just sing the song?
Yeah. I get like certain parts extending it.
Yeah, everybody puts their spin on it, you know?
I mean, right. Aretha's, you know, she's an icon of fucking music. But, I mean, God. I mean, come on. Say, what the fuck, man?
You should sing it.
I could sing the national anthem. Actually,
well, I mean, but remember when like Roseanne sang the national anthem? Remember that? And like,
yeah,
and, like,
it was horrible.
Who else did it? Who's that runner? Remember the Olympic sprinter who did it and he was so bad?
Yeah,
and he like forgot the words. Who was that?
Oh yeah, that's the worst when somebody forgets the.
Oh,
and
wow.
The rocket's underwear.
Right.
The sky's full of shit in the air.
You're like Frank Drebin as Enrico Palazzo trying to sing the national anthem.
Yeah,
it's Enrico Palazzo.
Her rendition of the Star Spangled Banner clocked in at 4:35.
Oh my Jesus God. Christ.
Whitney Houston did 2:20. Started blah, 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 yeah. Well, you know, she's 74 years old. She's trying to get as much spotlight time as she fucking. Can you imagine? That's like her last gig. She's thinking, fuck, I'm going to milk this thing. I'm gonna take 15 minutes to spin. And it's funny because usually when that happens in a game, people sing it anyway and they cheer when it's over.
Right,
you
right.
Know, even on their own time.
They're cheering for different reasons.
Absolutely.
Now.
Actually, people were cheering because they're like, wow, this was great. I got to go to the beer stand, get some beer, and come back. I didn't miss anything.
Yeah.
That's Who definitely something to cheer about.
Ah. Here's another story. In a German court, breast implants are no hindrance to police work.
Or what?
I guess in Germany, mm-hmm. in the police department, somebody probably wrote something or made a suggestion or a rule that if a policewoman has fake boobs, she can't do her job.
What?
Yeah. A German court has ruled breast implants are no impediment to a woman becoming a police officer. The ruling by the administrative court in the Western...
They're actually helpful.
Yes.
Seduce the criminal.
It's like opposite. Like here in this country, if a woman gets pulled over and she shows her tits, she doesn't get a ticket. There, a guy doesn't get pulled over, but he gets pulled over because he wants to see the tits. The ruling of the administrative court in the Western city of Gelsenkirchen, Wednesday came after a 32-year-old woman appealed a police doctor's assessment that her silicone implants were likely to rupture during physical demanding law enforcement work.
Oh, my God. Do they not know anything about breast implants?
What?
Wait, it's not just going to explode if you're, like, you know, moving around.
Yeah.
Well, no, I think what they were thinking, like, you know, they're, you know, wrestling with a criminal or, you know what I mean? Like, something like that. I think that's what they're talking about.
No, still. I mean, like.
No, I get it. I mean, I think it's ridiculous, but I think I don't think it was just like, hey, if you're running, it's going to happen.
Have they never seen, like, professional.
If you've got to, like, take down a criminal or something, you're laying on top of them.
Have you ever, have you never seen.
How often are you, like, slamming your tits into a criminal?
Well, if they're big enough, that's what you use, right? Listen, there, it's like, you know, the booby slam.
This thing could be over if they just sent them video of, like, the women's professional wrestling with those beasts with the big fake boobs.
Exactly.
Yeah.
What about that girl China or whatever?
She died. Had fake tits. Yeah, she's dead.
But come on,
didn't she die? Didn't she die?
One of them erupted.
Yeah, she was acting, oddly enough. She was catching this burglar who was stealing.
Shot her right in the boob.
Yeah, didn't she die when somebody else died and it kind of like took away? Remember, she died and someone else was like Prince or somebody. She died around the same time somebody else died. I'm trying to remember.
I think it was Prince.
It might have been Prince.
Let me see.
Yeah, I think it was those
two. Sorry, but there's a really good show. I think it's on MSNBC or CNN where they do like it's like in other news, and it's like the other news that was going on, like when Michael Jackson died or when like Prince died, you know, the other big stories.
Right.
No, I'm serious. And they get into the, because those stories just get lost. I mean, they just, you know, it's, you know, probably the most famous one is, remember that Senator Gary what's his face who was like accused of murdering that intern Chandra Levy,
right?
You know what I mean? And they're like looking at him all the, and then all of a sudden 9/11 happened and everyone was like, Gary who?
Oh yeah, you remember that? They forgot about it. Yeah,
yeah,
that's right. And like all of a sudden he's like, thank God.
Yeah. Glad I bought those terrorists those tickets.
China died on the 20th and of April, and Prince died on the 21st.
Yeah,
so there you go.
That'll do it.
All right. Well, hey, by the way, you remember that cute story about Thanksgiving of the woman who sent, she thought she was sending her grandkid, you know, an invitation to come for Thanksgiving dinner, and she sent it to this black college kid?
No.
And you didn't hear that story?
No, I didn't.
And then he responded back with his photo and said, can I still come? And And she said, yeah, sure.
Aww.
You don't have anybody? Well, they actually had Thanksgiving dinner together.
Oh, my goodness.
And she's pissed because he stole all the silverware.
No, oh, fuck kidding. You.
Oh, Jesus.
Women actually shares Thanksgiving with teens she accidentally invited in Mesa, Arizona. An Arizona woman who accidentally texted a stranger an invitation to Thanksgiving dinner made good on her offer, greeting the teen visitor with a hug and an oven full of food after their story swept social media. Wanda Dench was the woman's name. And Jamal Hinton, 17-year-old. Actually got together. Now they're dating. Yeah, so it's pretty exciting.
That's adorable.
Yeah.
I want to see more stories like that.
Yeah, the exchange gained attention after Hinton posted on Twitter. Dench's phone number was not hidden in the photos, so she learned how many people wanted a place at her table. She said about 600 people texted her after if they could also come and have Thanksgiving dinner. I should have done it because I ate by myself.
You should have. Well, didn't you go to New York Steak or whatever?
Yeah, I went to New York Yankee Steakhouse.
Okay, well, there you go.
And I had a nice 12-ounce filet mignon and some cream spinach.
That sounds delicious.
I had like 6 Bloody Marys and some turkey and stuffing.
Yeah, because you did the same thing, right? Didn't you eat alone?
Yeah. I was here with the dog.
Aw, you guys were both alone?
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah.
That's the way it goes. Okay, we got it.
I had a great Thanksgiving. I literally woke up. Like, went for a run, came back, started making Bloody Marys, watched some football, made some turkey, made more drinks, and then went to sleep at like 8:30.
That actually sounds glorious.
Yeah.
It actually was kind of nice.
Hey, we're running out of power. So here, look real quick. Woman tried to use pizza as ID to enter a bar. Or enter a town bar.
Mm.
Yeah, how about that? In Amherst, Massachusetts, police in Massachusetts say a woman tried to use a slice of pizza as a form of identification to get into a college town bar and slapped the bouncer when he refused her entry.
Hey, pizza face.
Monkey Bar co-owner Rasif Rafiq tells the Boston Globe the apparent college student had attempted to hand the bar bouncer a slice of pizza. I guess he was more like bribing her.
She had
purchased at their nearby shop as proof of her legal age last week. She allegedly became aggressive and nearby police officer got involved. Police say the woman was issued a trespass notice to stay away from the club.
I'm old
I guess she's
to
trying to say,
pizza.
Look, I bought this pizza at that bar, so I must have been in there. So, look.
So obviously she's wasted, obviously. So I think that she was probably wasted and was like, listen, like, I just bought this pizza over there.
Yeah.
Obviously, I'm old enough.
Yeah, you come up with shit like that.
I don't know. Something like
reminds
that.
Reminds me of Lenny's joke. This guy was so stupid at a bar, he needed a picture ID. So this guy walks up with a baseball card
My God.
And he strikes the pose like he's batting. He's like, does this look like me? Yeah. And let's finish on this story because we're about to go powerless here. Yeah, because right now I'm at my computer is at 16% power. And John's a computer guy, so that means I have what? How much time? Probably like 2 minutes?
Yeah, but I was about to say probably about 3 minutes.
Yeah.
Police gambler's bid to double down at bank turns into a bust in Charleston, West Virginia, where there's a Comedy Zone I performed. Authorities say a man stood up from a blackjack table in West Virginia, drove to rob a bank, and then returned to continue gambling.
Oh, my God.
Why not?
Yeah, the Charleston Gazette said reports a Kanawha County grand jury last week indicted 52-year-old Kerry Johnson of Charleston on a bank robbery charge. Investigators say Johnson had been at the Mardi Gras Casino in Nitro for hours on August 2nd when he put down a $25 chip to hold this spot. That's when police say Johnson drove 13 miles to Charleston Bank, gave tellers a note saying he had a bomb and a weapon, and robbed it.
Oh, Jesus.
Police say Johnson then returned to the blackjack table.
All while holding
and kept
his spot.
Gambling. Johnson could face 10 to 20 years in prison if convicted, if it's unclear whether he has an attorney or won any money when he gambled.
It's going to be a great story in prison.
Isn't that great? If you rob a bank, it's a felony. It's 20 years in jail. Manslaughter, you can get 2 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's horrible.
So what that means is if you're going to do something, just kill somebody. Just don't rob a bank.
And that's the moral of the
that's
story
the moral.
For today.
That is.
That's what we're going to leave. That's what we're going to end on, everybody.
That's right. Well, now we're milking. I'm going to see what we charge. Let's see. All right, now we're still at 13. What did I say before?
16.
Did I?
Yeah.
Oh, fuck. There's like being honest.
You're going to want to wrap it up because if it dies in the middle, it might not save
the file.
You
still have to like edit and save, and that might take battery out, too.
No, I'm not going to do any editing. I'll put that up later.
There was a Yeah, you have to. Oh, okay, got it.
Yeah, I'll do it later. But, hey, this is a nice short show today.
Yeah.
Right? Plus, I got to go pick up the wife at the airport. I got to get rid of all the women's underwear on the... I'm like, I love you, honey. I miss you.
At least anyway, wash the sheets.
That's right. By the way, our newly engaged Elgin David will be in tomorrow.
Congrats, guys.
Peter Leonard has the flu for the first time in 11 years.
That's
so he won't
news.
Play. Yeah. So we'll be back. And there's no show Wednesday. Don't forget, guys, Wednesday's comedy show, Wise Guys Comedy Show, is going to be phenomenal. Michael Atchison is the host.
Oh, yeah.
From Orlando. Miguel Colon Jr., who I believe won the Monsters Comedy Contest up there in Orlando. And our headliner, Steve Marshall, will be in town.
Ooh.
Always a great show. Cool. Wednesday, I'm going to be at the Inn of the Mountain Gods in New Mexico performing. And on Thursday, I'm going to be at the Santa Ana Star Casino performing, and on Friday and Saturday I'll be in El Paso at the Comic Strip in El Paso along with headliner Sean G. Go to more dates, DougieAlmeida.com. Follow the show at Wake Up Dougie on Twitter. You can follow me on Instagram and on Twitter at Dougie Dangerous. You can follow John
JohnLevineComedy.com
and Talia
Tali B Comedy.
There you go. Thanks again for listening, guys, and we'll be back tomorrow for the power chord and a full hour of the show tomorrow when we come back right here at the same spot. Take care.
From the sky on a magical night, and in the colors of a thousand sunsets, they travel to the world on a silvery light. The people of the earth stood waiting, watching as the ships came one by one. Setting fire to the sky as they landed, carrying to the world children of the sun. Children of the sun. All at once came a sound from inside, thick beam of light hit the ground.